Welcome to the G328 podcast from City Gospel Mission. We are a podcast for those who are working as reconcilers in ministries, churches, and communities. G328 comes from the Bible verse found in Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This podcast is one of the ways we can help each other follow Jesus' teachings and turn away from bias, prejudice, racism, classism, and sexism. Hello, I'm the host, Kara Warden, and this is our guest today, Arturo. Arturo, could you share a little bit with us about who you are and what your background is?
Thank you for having me. Yes, my name is Arturo Minera. I am the firstborn of immigrant parents. My parents are from Guatemala. I was born in South Miami, Florida. I have three younger brothers. And in South Miami, everybody is Hispanic. There's all sorts of different colors of people and backgrounds. It was very diverse. I believe that you had to take a Spanish class in the core curriculum because of just how popular the Spanish language was spoken down there. And so I can remember Spanish being a class that we had to take. I never minded. That was an easy A, but you know, we were also able to read and write it in that class. It was very easy to just fit in. I did not know what diversity was because I was born into it. And even within the Hispanic community, there are the island Hispanics. You know, there are the Cubans, the Dominican Republicans, the Puerto Ricans. And then there were those that were coming from Central America. And then there was Mexico. It was just a variety of flavors, right? Amidst, you know, the white and black community that also lived there. So it was just very, very diverse. And growing up, I had a very thick accent. I was speaking Spanish as much as I was speaking English. And so that's just what I was born into. Of course, at home with my parents and my family, it was English and Spanish. It just really depended on the situation, I guess. But I moved here at the age of 10. My dad's parents were here. They said, there's a lot going on here. It's a pretty progressive part of the country, and progressive in terms of there's a lot happening here. Cincinnati's becoming something. Business is coming into this part of the country. And then also, they really like the challenge of there being a lot of Hispanic pockets here. One thing to note is that the Bible says to honor your parents. My dad and my grandfather are really remarkable people in my life because they were the ones that pioneered a lot of the work that I'm trying to do now, not because they told me to, not because I feel like I have to, but because I have been able to see how God has been working across the generations of my family. And when my grandfather came here, again, that was a big reason that he wanted to really be here, because he surveyed the land and he saw that there was something going on, and he felt like God was going to use him, and he did. And so when my family agreed to come up here, my father, my mother, my brothers, unfortunately, about a year in, my parents separated. My three younger brothers and I went with my mom. We just started apartment hopping for about 6 years, and everything changed almost instantaneously. Because, and the reason that I talked about how it was growing up in South Miami, Florida, is because here it was everything different. I mean, even down to the family dynamic. Now I was in a single parent household, the oldest of three other brothers, and I had a mom who was working two jobs, but as my dad was still trying to figure his life out, we were on food stamps for a while. It immediately became the opposite of everything I was used to, and it happened so fast. And that's the family dynamic now, having changed almost a complete 180 degrees. And we talk about school. When I started my fifth grade year here, which was the last year at the elementary school building, I was thankfully a cool kid because, again, I was from South Miami. Who doesn't love, you know, Miami Beach? And I had very sleek black hair. I had a really cute accent, is what they said, is what they told me. And And at the time, you know, acne hadn't kicked in yet. So according to the little notes that were being passed around in English class, I was a pretty cute kid. So it fifth grade was actually not so bad. It was kind of, you know, as you hear so many times, it was like the escape, like, oh man, things are going a little haywire at home, but thankfully there's school. I have an identity there that's good and favorable. And that was only for fifth grade, because then sixth grade happened. And again, just after the year from summer to summer, when my parents made that decision, and everything just completely changed, including changing building. So now I was in middle school, and there was a separate middle school building at the time. So when I went to sixth grade, and in that summer where all of this was happening, acne decided to show up as well. Just everything about me was no longer cool. Everything was no longer fun. And even though I recognized really quickly in fifth grade, I should note that I was the only Hispanic in my class, not just my classroom, but all of fifth grade, I immediately was now in a place in the middle school where I was one of like 400 maybe. And I was no longer the cool kid. There was so much about me now that so many adolescents could pick on. My accent was no longer cute. My name was something to pick on. Just everything about me that was the majority of my middle school life, was continuing to dread the first day of school when, you know, the teachers would not intentionally mispronounce my name, to making a mistake when I had to read out loud. And because, you know, I was still navigating through having to speak English more now, even at the household, because my mom now had to speak English to, like, everything just had to change. God, trust me, was all over this, because in that, my mom found Jesus, my brothers found Jesus, my dad, his parents found Jesus. And there's that whole restorative piece, that whole redemptive piece of this story as it pertains to my work now, because of God, which is the most amazing part of the story, right? Because of God. But then when God truly intervened and showed up in my life at the right time, as he always does, I saw then what I can see clearly now. I saw a glimpse of what was going to happen in my future was, you know, there was a reason why little Arturito had to experience being the only one, having the attitude to say, you know, there is a reason why you have to be the one to almost pioneer the Latino representation and the things that you're in. I had a sense that and a hope that one day I would be able to do something with this. I graduated high school, fast forward to college, and there was opportunity to get plugged in to the Latino Programs and Services office. I did that. And then my dad at the time, you know, we restored our relationship. I actually moved in with him when I went to college, because at that time, you know, my mom was still trying to figure things out with my three other brothers. And because my relationship with my father was a lot better, I'm like, you know, mom, this is, and to this day, still one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. But mom, there's the closest shot I got to graduating is with my dad having taken some classes and being able to take me. There were just so many reasons. I'm like, this is hard, but I know that this is also what I have to do. It was also a chance to continue to restore my relationship with my dad, who, again, at the time, was going through a transitional phase himself too. And lo and behold, somewhere in my college career, he started working here at City Gospel Mission. He was given the opportunity to essentially create this Hispanic outreach department that I work in now. I was continuing to try to get involved in Latino advocacy and whatever I could. My dad would invite me to all of these camps that he was creating. I was very excited for those opportunities. I just fell in love with being back in a community that seemed so familiar but so distant. I mean, my dad's role, which is our continued role in Hispanic outreach, is to do the work that City Gospel is called to do in the city, but to just provide those resources to the growing Latino community, and just making sure that if there are any things that need to be modified because of the cultural context that this community, my community, is coming from, that those are acknowledged and worked through. And so that's our role in the Hispanic Outreach Department. It was my dad's role then. And as he invited me to be part of that, I fell in love with it. It just, everything that God was doing in me, even in Miami, when I knew what it was like to be surrounded by this, and then to not be, it just completed a spectrum of in diversity and in adversity. And it's just my continued testimony. It's just amazing to see now that my dad moved on. I was willing to do this work voluntarily for the rest of my life. It wasn't even what I was going to college for. I was going for electronic media, videography. And even that has just been amazing, how God, when I was invited to full-time ministry, there's not a day that goes by where I'm faced with something and I go, wow, God, I could see how everything, even from my childhood and all of the things that I had to experience, could connect itself to why I have to be here to do this work. And so now we work with a community mainly in Price Hill where it's dominantly Hispanic. Amongst some of the schools that we really, really work with just over the years, have built great relationships with. My role now is to continue to make sure that the Hispanic community understands that it has itself here. And I'm seeing almost the reality that I did not live, which was if I were to have stayed in Miami. God is allowing me to dream and create what could be now that there is a diverse atmosphere found in these schools and with these children and where they're living. A lot of my work is creating with others what would be ideal to continue to cultivate a diverse environment as opposed to an adverse environment.
You experienced this tremendous community that was full of diversity and that was very fulfilling to you and very anchoring. And then you moved into this phase of your life that was filled with adversity in pretty much every area, from familial to school to city. And then you got to basically get the opportunity. It reminds me of this scripture that talks about that God uses all things for good, that mm-hmm. even in that adversity, he's doing redemptive work through that of giving you the platform to build what was not there for you.
Exactly. I mean, even, you know, divorce is always a weird topic to talk about, but exactly. It's been an interesting thing to be able to have tangible evidence, because I can speak with a certainty where I once wasn't able to, and I've heard people not be able to wrap their minds around this. It does require a sense of really understanding that scripture that you said and being able to see that obviously it's not an ideal situation, but when I can look at a kid in the eye and tell them, you know, I know what it's like to have someone you love not be there right now, and referring to growing up in a single parent household and missing, whether you're with your dad, your mom, or if you're with your mom, your dad, and having had that life before and now not having it, I understand what that trauma felt like. And it's just, again, you said it, it's just me affirming it, really, just how good God is, that every single thing that at the time I was able to have people keep me up from falling down, because it's so easy when you face trauma to want to just quit and say it's not worth it, especially when I can't see from here what God could possibly do with this in the future. It's just really awesome to be able to speak to myself when I speak to these kids. It's a good never-ending cycle. I could cry thinking about it. Sometimes I do, because there are so many kids that when I see them, and so many of them will even be referred to as mini arties because they almost look like me, like they are coming from almost similar situations, and where maybe how they got to that was different, we walked through similar things, and it's just so amazing to be able to look at them and now pay respect to the people that kept me up, now pay respect by being that for them. Like, I'm just so thankful for everyone that made sure I didn't quit, and now I get to repay that by being that for them. That's why I look forward to work every day.
Sure.
That's why I love this job, because all I want to do with my life is give back. That's all I want. I mean, that's exactly what God did so much for us. He said, I'm going to give all of me for you. And not a day goes by where I'm not thankful that I now live in the part of the city that I actually do the most work in, because all I really want to do, because it was made clear to me by all of those people that collectively loved on me and my mom and my brothers, I just want to give back all of my life to this sort of ministry. And God is, I'm so thankful that he gave me that. He didn't have to. It's not where it was headed when I said yes to electronic media years ago. And yet God, again, still just put everything together where right now I'm just so thankful that I can say that I am in this work, and that I am still with the same, you know, vigor and excitement as I was since day one.
When it sounds like in the same way that God encourages you by giving you the ability to see yourself in those children, I have no doubt that God also encourages those children by them seeing themselves in you.
I hope so. I mean, a lot of parents There are so many times where, yeah, they will tell me, or they will say it in front of their children, like, you need to be like this man, you need to be. And the funny thing is, Kara, that as I was thinking through this, when they tell me that, you need to be like this man, and they're referring to me, it's always hilarious to me, because after graduating, I didn't go. A lot of people, a lot of mentors in my life were saying, well, look, one of the ways that you could look about this, and this was especially when the opportunity was proposed to me to work here full time, these kids are going to look up to you. I mean, there were people in my life, mentors, that were looking out for them, even looking out for the best interests of myself and these kids. They understood everything we're talking about now, that whether we like it or not, because the kids look like me, because I look like them, because I talk like them, you know how it goes. Just naturally, subconsciously, you find yourself attracted to the person that is like you. And so having understood that, there were some people that were telling me, well, look, maybe the way to go is not to immediately just out of college commit yourself to that cause. Maybe it needs to be you going and establishing yourself financially, going and establishing yourself with credibility as a, you know, a leader of the city, you know, things like this. Even given my video production degree, it's like, maybe you need to go and become a director and grind all your way up to being a director, a known one. And so I laugh when they say, you know, you need to look up to this man and be like him, because I can understand what they're trying to say, but my goal is for them to do far greater than I could. And I've accepted that. When I accepted this job, I accepted that I don't think me personally would want to go away from this to go and do what people were suggesting I do, right? Which is to go and establish myself so that then I could still serve as a valuable person in these kids' lives, because I'll come back to tell them, right? Hey, you can do this too. Which is always nice. And there are actually people in the city that do that. They do come back. Huge Latino leaders in the city will come back and inspire these kids and are not with them all the time. But when they are, it's so amazing and inspiring, even for me. But I just have accepted that my role is not to be coming back every so often, but to be on the grind with them every single day. And sometimes I will break that down to the families. But I think it's just understood, right? It's like, yeah, maybe the fact that I fulfilled and am continuing to fulfill God's calling for my life, but definitely don't all of you come back and like work here and commit your lives to this, because we need to be everywhere. We do need to be everywhere, because, you know, as we're talking about inclusion and diversity and equity, we do realistically need to be everywhere, right? Because we need both. We need people that are here saying, yes, you can. And we need people over there saying, yes, we did. And both Latinos there. And this honestly pertains to any, you know, race, ethnicity, whatever, right? The kids need to see the full spectrum of possibility that they have here. And contextually, kids that their parents did everything and are doing everything possible for them to have a life that they cannot have. It's not even they could not. They cannot. They won't. They cannot, for the nature of what's going on in their lives here, the parents, the kids have that by being here. And they need to see every day that there is a full spectrum of possibility. You could come back and do what Arturo's doing, or you can go and do what Anthony Munoz did and now does at the capacity that he does it. And so, it's just, I'm sorry, this stuff excites me.
It's, well, and what you're saying, it reminds me of the phrase that, you know, they're planting a tree under whose shade that they will not necessarily rest. And oftentimes I see that in first generation parents, where it is really all about sacrificing for their children so that they can grow to become something that is maybe not available to them, but through their sacrifice, they're planting something that will grow and cast, you know, shade for others.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what exactly is your title at City Gospel Mission?
I'm a staff member in the Hispanic Outreach Department, as well as the Teen Impact Department. So, okay. And they both kind of go hand in hand, because the quick history there is, as I've already mentioned, my dad was tasked to create this Hispanic Outreach Department because City Gospel understood that there was a Hispanic community at large here that they hadn't necessarily tapped into yet, but they had a heart for. So my dad created that. Now, part of that was involving himself with the other departments within the youth department and them creating these camps. And these camps were very valuable for not just the Hispanic outreach kids, but all of the other divisions within the youth department, because this was an opportunity to invite any sort of kid, be it one that was involved in a church or not, to come and get an appetite for the Lord and then encourage them to get plugged into our programs. And from there, get plugged into their church and now just continue to get these kids into this pipeline of that is good for them, right? That is focusing on their academic and more than anything, spiritual success. And so that teen impact department, just from the success of creating those camps, was eventually justified to be a department that can now focus on creating these camps and conferences for youth to continue to build on their faith. And it also serves as a very practical tool for the churches that cannot afford to have these sorts of camps. You know, it's amazing that now we're creating a space where youth leaders can bring their youth free of charge to something and are invited to be part of even the planning process for that. So it's just a really exciting thing going on. And my role in both of these is a little different, but they always fall in the same. A lot of the kids that are in either one of these departments will always overlap because they are teenagers and they're Hispanic. We are getting the plethora of resources that City Gospel provides to our families so that we're not necessarily inventing a new wheel. We're just making sure that they understand that they're invited to get into this car. And then when it comes to teen impact, that's where I can flex a little bit of more of my creativity, because we're still navigating through, even now with this pandemic, contextually speaking, how to create opportunities for kids to get excited about God and just meeting them where they're at, and then partnering with their churches to get them in through that door. It's fun and exciting, but also convicting. But really, that's my job. My job is to create and to connect.
Create and connect. This concludes part one of our two-part series with Arturo Miñera, talking about his life and his work as it relates to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to the podcast to get the latest releases. And remember Micah 6:8, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. We'll meet you back here next time.